Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Will we talk? Well, we talked about fat shaming on the show earlier this week when James Corden spoke out on telly in the States about how difficult it can be for overweight people to face up to and take on their own health problems. Have a listen to this.
We know that being overweight isn't good for us, and I've struggled my entire life trying to manage my weight, and I suck at it. It's proven that fat shaming only does one thing. It makes people feel ashamed. And shame leads to depression, anxiety, and self-destructive behavior. Self-destructive behavior like overeating. While you're encouraging people to think about what goes into their mouths, just think a little harder about what comes out of yours.
Well, my next guest would probably agree with a lot of what he said, and she really, really, really did something about it when she went from a size, wait for it, a size 32 to a size 12. But that wasn't the end of the story. When your body goes through a change like that, there are more to worry about than just the weight. And Jennifer Carroll is here now to tell us all about it. Hiya, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
Jennifer has 92,000 bleeding followers on Instagram or something. Because, and I was just saying to you off air, just everybody wants to know, how did you do it? Yeah. Why did you do it? Because it's an amazing story, because you lost 10 stone in a year. Am I right in saying that?
The first year lost 10 stone.
That is crazy. That is crazy. Was there a turning point when you thought, okay, I need to do something? And what was it?
The turning point was 2 years ago. So 2 summers ago, it was having my kid. Having my little boy. He was definitely my push. But I think he was coming up to 2 years old. And I was just like, I have to, like, this is my moment. I was just after becoming a single parent, and I wanted to kind of give him the best chance, the best start. So I was like, I have to do it now. So.
And before, did you struggle with your weight? Like, did you try different diets? Were you yo-yo dieting? Did you try things and give up? What was it like?
I'd always try different things. Like, I remember doing like the cabbage soup diet, and I'd always been overweight. So I know I'd tried diets like in calorie count and stuff when I was like 13, 14. Mm. So I had tried all of them, but I just never stuck at them, or I didn't see results quick enough, and I would just kind of fall off the wagon.
Because they promise results, don't they?
They promise results. And I think when you're a little bit bigger as well, like, you expect kind of quick results, and when you don't see that quickly, it's kind of off-putting and you just kind of lose interest.
My mother-in-law had me buy this tea for her in a health shop. She's like, this is it now. I've tried everything else. This is going to make me skinny. I was like, it's not. And she'd say, like, she'd go into depth about her diet, a certain diet she was going on, while drinking half a bottle of wine.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, we all go through it and we all try these things. So you decided when your son was two, this is it. I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it.
The million-dollar question, what everybody wants to know, how?
How? So I was still in London. So I'd lived in London for 9 years, and I was still over there at the time. And I was too embarrassed to go to like a Slim and World or a Weight Watchers group. I just didn't like the idea of being in front of people and getting weighed. So I'd said to my friend, I'll just start at home myself. And I just made a promise to myself. I was like, I'll buy a food diary. I'll do it for 12 weeks. It was like a 12-week diary. I was like, no matter what, whether I have a good day, a bad day, I'll just stick to it. And I remember just writing, like, filling the diary out one night. I spent like about 3 hours when character was asleep, filling out, planning the entire 2 weeks. And I just stuck to it. And I kind of did see results, but I enjoyed it. So I was like, this is easy. And Slim On World is really simplified. So it makes things easy, like, if you struggle in that sense. And there's not a lot of weighing, like, food and counting calories. It's just really simple. So that was working for me. So
especially
I just
when you have a little one as well, because you're busy and you're running after them and you're feeding them. So was there a lot of prep, and did you have to completely change your food habits?
Yeah, so there was a lot of prep. Now, when I was in London at the time, I wasn't working, so it was a lot easier. So I was just at home with character. So it was a lot easier with food prep and cooking my meals. But then when I went back to working full time, it does get harder, and you do have to set aside that 15 or 20 minutes a day. There's just no question about it. Like, if I don't set aside that time, I won't stay on plan. Do you know what I mean? And like, I know sometimes I hate putting the time into it, but I know at the end of the day, I want the healthy lifestyle. I want to be where I want to be more than, you know, that 15 minutes of sitting on the couch with a cup of tea.
Yeah. And what about drink?
I'm not a massive drinker. I do love a drink when I go out. But it might be once or twice a month. Like, okay. I wouldn't be someone that would sit at home and have a glass of wine.
Okay.
It's just not my thing. And then when I do go out and drink, it would be gin and Slimline.
Okay, well, that's good. That's what everybody wants to know, because I think, and a lot of people, like the body coach and a lot of these people who are trying to get you on the right track, are saying like drink is just the killer.
It's just the calories in it. I think people forget, and then it's not even the calories when I drink, it's the food afterwards. It's the like going to the takeaway shop after the drink, and that's kind of where all is as well.
I have a text message for you. Somebody says, I've gone through phases of being really good at prepping my meals, but I'd love to know how Jen deals with eating out.
Ian, so I'm at a point now when I eat out, I just kind of order what I want, because the way I see it, I don't eat out a lot. So when I do eat out, I'm like, if I'm having 21 meals a week, like one meal out is not going to change. Like it's not going to make me revert or go back. So if I do go out, sometimes I'm like, just enjoy it. But the year I lost 10 stone, I was incredibly strict and I just stuck to 100%. And I would always just go for fish. Now, I know a lot of people don't like fish. I did like fish, but I just find fish is the easiest thing on the menu. Salad can sometimes be boring, and salads can sometimes be packed with calories when you add in all the kind of sauces and croutons and cheeses.
I'm so glad you said
all the
that.
Good stuff. Like salads aren't always the best option.
Okay, so fish is
fish
a good
is
option.
Good fish or chicken, but just
so when in the year, let's go back to the year that you lost 10 stone, at what point did you go, holy shit, I look amazing?
It actually didn't for a long time. I remember I'd lost 4 stone and I couldn't see it in myself.
Really?
Yeah, I'd lost, I think, just over a stone when I moved back to Ireland. And a lot of my friends and family were like, oh, you look great. But I knew they were just encouraging. But I think it's because I was so big. Like I was over 25 stone. So it's hard to see a stone or two. But
did you feel better?
I did feel better, and I think I was just proud of myself. And I think that was keeping me really motivated, and people kept being like, oh, like how do you stay so motivated? And at the time I used to hate saying it, but now I'm always like, it's myself, like I'm my biggest motivator. And you have to, like, there's no one that is going to want it as much as you want it. So at the time I would hate saying like, oh, I motivate myself, but I did. I think feeling proud of myself, I was encouraging myself to work harder and keep at it.
Yeah, and that's one thing. I mean, we were listening to James Corden there, and he's talking about fat shaming, and you talk about the support, and you got so many words, and you thought oh, yeah, they're just encouraging me. Was there anything beforehand that, you know, did anybody ever say, look, you're a risk to your health, you need to lose weight? Was there any family member or anybody that fat shamed you, really?
My family never fat shamed me. My family were always very good with it. I think now looking back, I can see how hard it was on them and how much it upset them, but they didn't know how to approach it in a way. And I would get so defensive, and like I'd almost get angry if someone even brought it up. So I think they learned to just kind of not talk about it.
So do you agree with James Corden saying, you know, people who are struggle with their weight, they know they're overweight. They know we have problems. We don't need to be told
exactly.
to make
it
the
doesn't
change.
Help. And okay, like I was saying, I remember when I was pregnant with Carter, going to the hospital. Every time you go to the hospital, there was times I would even avoid going to the hospital if there was something wrong with me, because I know the first thing they're going to say is, you're overweight. You know, and they're just very clinical about
like,
it.
They I don't know.
They're not approaching you in like a friendly way. And I know it's their job and they have to kind of just go by the rules, I suppose. But that was tough. And I remember like constantly being told, I'm like, you're an adult, and you almost feel like it's a teacher giving out to you. And I used to hate that feeling. Like that used to really kind of belittle me a bit. And then there were other occasions where there would be people, and I know they would be like taking photographs or just laughing at me, and that was really upsetting. But that I think was when I was at my really heaviest, like when I really stood out from the crowd, I suppose. But fat shaming is a massive thing. Like it really is a big thing. And I remember a lot of my friends would sometimes be like, it's just in your head, like you're just imagining it, people aren't saying it. But I knew people would, like I could see people talking, I could see people having their cameras out, I knew what was going on. But yeah,
it doesn't help.
It doesn't help at all. It's not going to make me wake up and be like, oh, well, that person was horrible to me.
I know. Yeah, you know, like James Corden said, and many people, you know, you're overweight, and what you look at yourself every day.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, because you lost so much weight in a year, when did you start worrying about excess skin? Because I know this is something you talked about. Tell me about that.
So the excess skin, I think, was something I always knew would be a part of my journey.
Okay.
Because when I started the journey, I knew I had a lot of weight to lose. And I didn't really, you wouldn't hear many people losing that much weight and have like a perfectly toned body. But I was putting in so much effort in the gym, so I really got dedicated to the gym, and I was training 5 days a week, and I absolutely loved it. But it was disheartening because I knew the skin wasn't going to budge. And my trainer was even honest with me, and he was like, no matter how much you work out, like the only answer is surgery. So I'd known the whole time, and everyone is always like, oh, were you worried? There was almost a part of me that was looking forward to it because I knew it was the end result. And yeah, the excess skin's almost painful, and I hated looking at it for the last year. I hated it. And I've said it so many times, it was almost harder looking in the mirror after losing the 12 stone at what was left than it was looking at myself when I was bigger. Because like when you're big and you're fat, you know what you look like. Everyone knows what big looks like. But underneath clothes, like nobody knows what like 12 stone or like losing 12 stone excess skin looks like.
Yeah.
So I knew that I really wanted to get done. So I was looking forward to it. Like I was dying to get the surgery done. I remember even after I had the last surgery, I was like to my surgeon, can we talk about the next one? And he was like, just wait.
So it's not what, so you have to go through a number of procedures. Yeah. How many do you know?
So, well, it just depends on what you want. I'd like to get next my arms and breasts done. So just like a reconstruction.
Give me some of the breasts though. I could do a bit of that.
So I said, I used to be so much bigger and now they're smaller. And I'm like, no, even I want to go even smaller.
Really?
Like I'm just fine. I just want to get them reconstructed and the arms, just the skin removal.
It must be expensive, is it?
Very expensive, yeah. So it is expensive, but to me, like it's worth it.
Yeah, well, you've worked like, so hard.
Yeah, I worked really hard last year. I saved a lot. And then I just went for the surgery. The stomach was the first bit. I'd like to do the arms next and then the legs.
Can I ask you the cost of the stomach? How much did
that? Yeah, so the stomach depends on what you're having done, but can range anywhere between 8,500 to 10,500.
Wow.
Yeah, so it is a big surgery. It'd be the same with the arms, breasts, legs.
But worth it.
But worth every penny.
Absolutely worth it. Well, you're a phenomenal girl. You look unbelievable. Thanks for coming in. Jennifer Carroll, you're an absolute legend. Best of luck. And if people want to see where the story goes next, just have a look for @Jen_journey_IE on Insta. What's next for you?
Hopefully going back to the Avoca in January for my next surgery. I'd love it in January. But now just keep going, keep training.
Yeah, so you're still training every day?
Yeah, still train every day.
I'm going to feel really bad now. I'm going to have to start prepping my food. But thanks for coming in. You're an inspiration.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jen.
Thanks. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.